Hello, I am Bob Vessels and I am from the Netherlands. In my podcast, Rembrandt's Money, I will be telling you unexpected stories about Rembrandt, the famous Dutch painter. Compelling and fascinating stories. Hardly about art, no, about his almost unknown life as an entrepreneur, about Rembrandt's business, his finances and his legal affairs. In 2024, I am planning 24 podcast episodes, so around every 14 days. Every episode is between some 15 to 25 minutes, and all for free. If you want to know more, please visit my website www.rembrandtsmoney.com. Welcome or welcome back. I told you about the great impact of art dealer Hendrik Uyneburg on Rembrandt's professional life. Almost all the people Rembrandt portrayed were introduced by Uyneburg. He also had an impact on Rembrandt's personal life. He will introduce him to his cousin Saskia Uyneburg, the daughter of the mayor of Leeuwarden. Who was Saskia? Where did they meet? Were they really in love? Or was it a marriage of convenience? And of course, the legal question, what were the legal consequences of the marriage? Welcome to this podcast. Rembrandt married Saskia Uyneburg in 1634. The marriage must have been the talk of the town. The great painter Rembrandt and Saskia, daughter of a former mayor of Leeuwarden and a high-ranking senior administrator in the province of Friesland. Their union must have received a lot of attention, but there were no newspapers in those days. So, what do we know about the marriage? Saskia was not born in Holland, but in a district state now known as province named Friesland. Saskia's name in the Frisian language is Saske. The Frisian language differs from the language used in Holland. The Frisian language and its variants has been spoken since the early Middle Ages, especially in the district state of Friesland. It's a language related to English and Dutch that also has its own sound shifts and some own letters with circumflexes. In this decade of the present 21st century, it is estimated that around 5% of residents in the Netherlands, with an expected population of 18 million in 2024, speak Frisian. To help you geographically, the journey from Amsterdam to Leeuwarden, the capital of Friesland, is only around 130 kilometers by car. Presently the same country, but next to Dutch, their own Frisian language. Born in 1612, Saskia was 6 years younger than Rembrandt. She was a late arrival in the Uyneburg family and was the youngest daughter of the 8 children of Rombertus Rommerts Uyneburg and his wife Sjoukje. At the time of Saskia's birth, her father Rombertus is 58 and her mother is 47. Together with her older brothers and sisters, Saskia belongs to a prominent, prosperous, and well-educated family. Saskia's father, Rombertus, was awarded a doctoral degree in jurisprudence in 1578. He became a mayor of Leeuwarden in 1585, was appointed deputy of the state of Friesland in 1585, and in 1597 was counselor to the court of Friesland. With regard to her 7 siblings, Saskia's brothers Rombertus and Ulricus also were lawyers. At the age of 12, Saskia became an orphan after her mother died in 1619 and her father 5 years later. Saskia was raised by her sister Hiskia and her husband Gerard or Gerard van Loo. Hiskia was some 10 years older than Saskia. And Gerard or Gerhard van Loo would be Saskia's guardian until 1633. Van Loo was a lawyer and a secretary of the municipality of Het Bilt in the north part of Friesland. Where did Rembrandt meet Saskia? It seems likely that it was love at first sight, and that the exchange of loving looks most probably occurred in 1632. The Leeuwarden Heritage Center is fascinated by the love affair, saying of Rembrandt, I quote, "He had already traveled back to Friesland with his beloved in June 1633 to ask her lawful guardian for her hand. Earlier that year, Saskia had traveled to Amsterdam on her own to visit her cousin, art dealer Hendrik Uilenburg. It was here where she had met Rembrandt. On a visit to his future in-laws, he sketched Saskia off the cuff. He depicted her with a flower in her hand as a sign of her fertility. A caption under the drawing says, and I quote, 'This is my wife, portrayed when she was 20 years old, the third day that we were married, the 8th of June 1633. End of quote. Saskia was 21 and Rembrandt 27 years of age. And here the confusion starts. My wife, married on the 8th of June 1633, available documents in the Amsterdam Register indicate that the notice of intended marriage was given by Rembrandt on 10 June 1634. He would marry Saskia Uilenburg from Leeuwarden, signed by Rembrandt. So, in which year did Rembrandt get married, 1633 or 1634? This seemingly straightforward inscription, it is one of those problems that turn Rembrandt studies into a battleground royale. These are the words of Gary Schwartz. Here I will give you some background. In the Dutch Golden Age, two involved families arranged the choice of future married partners. Mutual fortune, religion, and wealth played a decisive role. What role did the families play in these choices? Rembrandt lived and worked in Amsterdam after he had left Leiden 2 years before. His father had died in 1630. His mother will pass away in 1640. Only a few notions show the nature of a relationship he had with his mother and his two surviving brothers. Those two brothers worked as a miller and a baker, each with little in common with the painting profession. Did Saskia have more than general knowledge about Rembrandt's family in Leiden and, as we mentioned in a previous podcast, about their relative good financial position? Or does she see Rembrandt as an ambitious, hard-working, well-earning painter from cosmopolitan Amsterdam, displaying his desire soon to become an independent, much sought-after artist? And what about Rembrandt? Was he keen to receive commissions from his future Frisian family? Was he attracted by the apparent wealth of the family? Would he have been impressed by a young lady from a rather well-to-do milieu of regents and intellectuals? Was she a representative of an affluent family? The family of Saskia certainly enjoyed respect. However, contrary to what literature suggests, I think that Saskia's assets were limited. After all, she shared her father's inheritance with 7 other siblings. It is unknown whether her family, particularly the lawyers in the family, insisted on marriage conditions being drawn up. They married in community of property. Rembrandt and Saskia were therefore entitled to half of the total of assets. From a legal point of view, women and men in the Low Countries performed a legally valid marriage when both had exchanged their marriage vows. There was no requirement for a public announcement. However, at the end of the 16th century, the secular authorities wanted to prevent such secret or private marriages. It was believed that they reduced legal certainty. Legal certainty, especially in the case of proof parenthood, had increased the possibility of bigamy. From 1572, all over the Low Countries, provincial or city statutes were issued with rules on the proclamation of a marriage. In Holland, this set of rules was enacted immediately. In the provinces of Groningen and Gelderland, however, only followed during the 17th century. In the 1620s, a marriage announcement took place after the declaration of marriage and the registration of that declaration. Marriage is no longer just a church matter. You could now also register with the local authorities. In Holland, the proclamation of the marriage could take place in the church or in the town hall. In the cities of Groningen and Delft, for instance, registration was done at the orphan chamber. In Leiden and Rotterdam, at the town hall. In Amsterdam, originally at the church consistory, later at the town hall. In Zeeland, Drenthe and Groningen, only the proclamation relating to the Christian church was recognized. After the wedding ceremony, all consequences of the marriage came into effect immediately, including the statutory community of property between the husband and the wife. By marrying, the previously independent woman lost their legal capacity. However, she remained authorized to draft a will and was therefore also authorized to instruct by testament what she pleases without needing the consent of the husband. She could also enter into agreements independently regarding the household and thus legally represent her husband independently as well. With the differences in the formalities of the legality of the marriage regime, the question, when did Rembrandt and Saskia marry, must be answered. More specifically, under which legal regime did they marry? Even more specifically, the regime of Holland, Rembrandt being a porter, a citizen of Amsterdam at the time, or the marriage laws of Friesland. To answer this question, we must look more closely at Rembrandt's drawing of Saskia and the caption below it. Where did they marry? Well, the most common belief in the latter part of the 20th century is that the word huisvrouw and getrouwd, as mentioned in the caption, means betrothed and engaged. The term getrouwd, in present-day Dutch getrouwd, normally meaning married, must be read as marriage vows, in Dutch trouwbeloften wisselen, or engaged to be married, in Dutch verloofd. And that event took place on 5 June 1633. It had also been submitted that in accordance with the Frisian marriage laws, the reference was to a formal declaration, whereby two persons declared that they take each other as man and wife. The marriage bond was then complete, but still needed confirmation before the church, congregation, or a judge to have full legal force. This latter view has gradually gained greater support. Rijksmuseum curator Bicker notes that it was in Hiskia's and Gerrit's home in Sint Anna Parochie which is the name of a small town, that Rembrandt and Saskia officially got engaged. Rings were probably exchanged, and Rembrandt may have followed a Frisian custom, a wedding coin hidden in an embroidered handkerchief tied with a love knot. Rich suitors placed their coins in minuscule silver boxes, known as knot chests or wedding caskets in Dutch knottekistjes. If the prospective bride accepted the coin, the wedding was on. Engagement were legally binding and engaged couples were permitted to enjoy all the fruits of the marriage, including sharing a bed together. If the bride tightened the knot, it was the confirmation of her eternal loyalty. That moment was sealed with intercourse, in Dutch bijslaap, while the family partied on. 6 years later, the author Broos adds that the caption on the portrait can be read as a marriage contract. After all, Rembrandt and Saskia were married before God, as it was called at that time, on that day in June. According to the Reformed Church, a marriage pledge was irrevocable because the woman of whom the marriage is formally announced is regarded as a wife. Dumortier looks at the couple through the eyes of the Frisian law of the time. They married after exchanging wedding vows, however. Dumortier also does not know how Rembrandt proposed to Saskia or whether he gave her any collateral. So they were married under Frisian law, but the groom was Hollander by birth, and Dumortier adds that this fact may have had influence on the proceedings. She says, both provinces had different jurisprudence and, as a result, different customs. The term jurisprudence in the quotation may mean legal system, i.e. law. I leave aside the more logical opposite, different customs will result in different legal systems. More than 1 year later, a marriage ceremony was initiated in Amsterdam. From assembled documents, it can be derived that notice of the intended marriage was given in Amsterdam. Within 14 days, the pair travelled to Saskia's residence in Friesland for the wedding. The church marriage took place on 22 June 1634 in the little town in Friesland, Sint Anna Parochie. The Leeuwarden marriage register recorded on 22 June 1634 indeed the marriage of Rembrandt residing in Amsterdam and Saskia now residing in Franeker, which is a place in Friesland. There she was the housekeeper living in the house of Macovius. Macovius was a theology professor at the University of Franeker. Well, let's go back to what at this juncture Dumortier enters the legal minefield of private international law, international private law, sometimes also conflicts of law. Her submission, I think, may have assumed that a Frisian tacit marriage, supposedly having taken place in 1633, is not recognized as a legal event in Holland. Conversely, a registration in Amsterdam of the intention to marry would have been recognized in Friesland. And does the marriage of 1634 in the church of St. Anna Parochie have extraterritorial effects, meaning effects outside of the territory of Friesland, and therefore also legal effects in Holland? I won't bore you with these and other complexities in this podcast. I invite you to read the accompanying text on my blog at rembrandtsmoney.com. I'm just curious about your views on these points. The marriage of Rembrandt and Saskia Uilenburg in 1634 was the marriage of a power couple. It had, however, its downsides too. There was a high level of child mortality in the 17th century, and sadly, their first three children were a clear example of this. One son and two daughters died in the next 4 years. What I just told you is a small part of Rembrandt's private life. More sad events were to occur. Fortunately, in September 1641, Rembrandt and Saskia's son Titus was born. He would be a healthy kid. He was named after Saskia's youngest sister Titia, who had died 35 years of age 2 months earlier. We will meet Titus in the subsequent podcast. That's it for this time. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Would you like to know more about this story? There's an extended version of it on my website, rembrandtsmoney.com, as an addendum to this podcast entitled Marriage to Saskia Uilenburg. In an upcoming podcast, I will cover the many thousands of newcomers and migrants from several parts in Europe that came to Holland and especially to Amsterdam. How was Rembrandt confronted with these migrants, these newcomers? What do we see of them and their descendants in Rembrandt's work? Yet, another fascinating Rembrandt story.